Well, good morning. You guys can have a seat. We're so glad to see you. I am glad to be home. I'm so glad to be back at Crossroads. If you don't know who I am, my name is Rod Zwemke. I'm the lead pastor here, and I've been gone for 5 Sundays, and I have missed you all very much. And so it is just awesome to be back with you guys and be home. And listen, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the sabbatical. Most of all, I just want to say thank you. Thank you. I'm serious to each one of you for allowing me the privilege of getting away and getting extra time with the Lord, for getting away and getting renewed in my spirit, for extra time with my family, from hearing from the Lord, to do a little fishing, to write some on a book God has led me to write, and a bunch of other things. And I'm going to tell you more about that tonight at 5:30. But I seriously wanted to thank each one of you for allowing me that privilege, and especially for the leadership, staff, and elders for that idea and for supporting it and for carrying the load while I was away. Thank you guys so much. Before I jump into our message, I think this has happened a couple times now. I've been out of the loop, but I want to point your attention to a card that you should have received when you came in. If you'll pull that out, if you don't have one of those, we have some gentlemen in the back. Just lift your hand up, and they want to get you one of these cards. And so if you don't have one of these in your hot little hands, raise your hand real quick. We'd love for you to get one just for a second. And as you do, here's what I want to say. We believe church is a team sport. We believe church is a team sport, and that there isn't just a handful of ministers at this church, that actually every single one of us that are part of Crossroads, whether you're a guest or you've been here a long time, that every one of us have an opportunity to minister to one another. That part of being a disciple of Jesus is learning how and being actively ministering to each other. And so before I give you the sales pitch to join a ministry team, because we do ministry in teams, here's what I want you to hear. I want something for you, not something from you. And I believe that's what Christ has for you. When we serve one another, it does something significant in our heart and in our lives, and it's something that benefits our lives in such a profound way that Jesus said, listen, don't follow me and miss this. You can minister to one another. In fact, it's wrong. You're missing something if you don't. And so I don't want you to miss that. We don't want you to miss that. God doesn't want you to miss that. You say, well, I only come once in a while. You can still minister. I'm not sure Crossroads is my church home. We'd love for you to try ministering with us. You said, I'm already ministering. Okay. So here's what I want. I want everyone to fill one of these out. And before we get to the boxes, if you're already serving in a role, just put your name and say, already serving. And you're off the hook. But if you're not already serving in a place, what I'd love for you to do is consider one of these four options. They're like easy places to plug into and serve. And so if you'll give us your contact information, and then it says, I'm interested in, and there's four options. One is the tech team. We got people in the back there. You get a really cool seat. Get to watch everybody else, you know, whisper to each other. No, they're busy back there. They're doing lights. They're doing projection. They're doing sound. Sometimes we do camera. We're going to get more of that camera stuff going on. We need people to serve up there, and it doesn't have to be all the time. It can be once in a while serving in our tech team. If that sounds like you, if you don't like to be up on the stage and in front of people, but you can serve quietly in the background, man, that's you. We'd love for you to be a part of that team. Secondly is guest services. If you're a people person, I don't know why I'm looking at you, Charles. Why would I do that, right? If you just walk into Home Depot and strike up conversations with people, that's Charles. Then the guest services is just a friendly face and say, hey, we're glad that you're here today. We'll train you what we want you to say. And that can be several different places as people come in and putting our best foot forward. You know, people make a decision about whether they'll give church another try next week way before I get up here. They decide that when they're sitting down for the service. So that ministry is huge. XRK is Crossroads Kids, and that's our children's ministry. You want to talk about making your life count, investing in the lives of the next generation that they might know and grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We've got a great team in that ministry, but they're always looking for somebody that's motivating, investing in kids. And can I tell you, we'd love to have you a part of that team if you have a passion for kids. Lastly is our student ministry. It meets on Wednesday nights, and I just think God's going to blow the roof off our student ministry. I think some very significant things are going to happen with our students. And if you have a passion for students, man, we'd love for you to be a part of what they're doing. We'd love for you to be a part of that. And I just got a crazy dream, like every single one of us find a place to serve. Wouldn't that be crazy? What if every single one of us found one place to invest our lives in something eternal, something significant, something greater than our lives, and we become a part of a team? We're not going to throw you to the wolves and forget about you, and then like 3 years later check in on you. Now, we're going to walk you through that every step of the way. You'll be a part of a team. So can I challenge you to check one of those off? And if you're already serving, write that. If you'll check at least one of those, we'd love to follow up with you. And so at the end of the service, there'll be an offering basket, and you can drop this in there. And look forward to serving with you guys. A last thing I'll say is this, is we're excited about sending Refuge Church out, Story and Laura and their team, 25, 30 people. And they're going to start a new church, hopefully in the Pendergrass area. And we're excited about that. And we're sending about 10% of our people with them. We wanted to tithe our people. And that's 25 to 30 people going with them. And we're excited for that. But most of those people that are going with them serve. And that means we need 25, 30 people just to do what we're doing today. We need 25 to 30 people serving where they're serving. And I believe y'all do that. I believe y'all do that. In fact, when we went to two services, we're like, oh man, what are we going to do? We need double of everybody. How are we going to do two services? We need twice as many people. And you guys stepped up. You guys did. And so I believe you'll do that again. So thanks for letting me say that. Don't forget the card. Drop it in the basket as we go around. Now there's a message. So I've been following remotely about this series. I was part of the planning of this series. And as I've been away, I've been praying for this series. And the questions that have been rolling through my mind are, how has this topic that it's all about we, how has it impacted your life? And has anybody found a way to reconcile and make amends with other people, people that they might have been struggling with to have peace with, and you've had conflict? Has anybody had victory? I'd love to hear those stories of how God's leading you to that. And my biggest question is, are we as a people and as a church, are we committed as we move forward and to use God's way and his plan of Matthew 18 that we will seek reconciliation and work through conflict with each other and not be about us, but it'd be about we. Man, I've been praying that God would grant us peace in our church, that we would be a people that work through conflict, and that we'd not have a me mentality, but a we mentality. That's been my prayer as I've been gone. And I want you to realize when we embrace Jesus and we embrace God as our Heavenly Father, that we become a part of a family, a church family. And so we're together in this. We belong to one another. And some of you would say, well, that means we're stuck with each other. And don't you know, you and I know, we don't get to pick our family. How many of you have that thought roll through your head? Why did I end up with these people? You say, well, I'm kind of stuck with each other. We kind of are, so let's make the most of it. So we have a responsibility to one another. I think we feel a personal responsibility for ourselves and for our family, and I think what this series is teaching us is we have a responsibility to each other to maintain peace in order in God's family. Some of you are probably skeptical of that idea that this is a family. Maybe you've been burned by a church before. Maybe you've been in church but never really jumped in and been a part of a church, and you're a little skeptical that this is really a family type thing. Can I tell you? It is. That's what we're striving to be here at Crossroads, that we're a family. And in fact, someone who preached before me had bigger ears, so hang on a second. I have tiny little ears. Don't laugh at them. I'm not saying you have Dumbo ears, Jeff. I'm just saying I have little ears. I was going to fight that the whole time. Let me tell you about us here. We are not perfect. We are far from perfect. We have conflict with each other. I do dumb things. Jeff does dumb things. We do dumb things. But we are striving to be like Jesus Christ. And we love each other. And we're desperate to love our community with the love of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you something. This is a safe place to be. I could have you stand up. People could come and stand up and testify that this is a safe place to be. This is a safe place for you to belong. This is a safe place to come with any kind of baggage and just be who you are. And this is a safe place to become who God created you to be. We all need a safe place because this world's not so safe, isn't it? So can I tell you, this whole series, you don't just get a safe, peaceful place on its own. You have to deal with the issues that happen in order to have a safe, peaceful place. You got to learn to deal with the issues. I'm going to tell you, our church is 13 years old, and October will be 13. I think that's right, if I got the math right. And so 12 years ago, after a year of ministry, my wife and I realized that ministry was really affecting our spirits and, more importantly, probably affecting our marriage in a significant way. And so we started to go into counseling, and we were trying to communicate, but we felt like a counselor was a better idea. So we're going to a counselor, and he asked Gabriella a question in one of the sessions, and she answered him, and I said, whoa. I said, you answered the question. I asked you that same question like a few weeks ago, and you didn't answer my question. Why did you answer it when he asked it, but you wouldn't answer it to me? And four words changed our marriage. Because he feels safe. I thought, man, if I'm going to be anything to my wife, I want to be safe. And we went to counseling. I agreed to counseling thinking he would straighten her out. And in that moment, God straightened me out. And we got in the parking lot. I didn't let her get in the car. And I said, I'm going to be safe for you, and things are going to change. And we found peace in our home again by dealing with the issues. Can I tell you something? God wants peace for your spirit. God wants peace for your home, and God wants peace in this church, but we'll only get that peace when we seek him first and work through the issues that may come. Anybody want to give me an amen? Let's work through them together. Jesus, God wants that for us. Listen to what Jesus said. I have told you these things. This is John 13. He's telling his disciples, but he's telling us. I have told you these things so that in me you may have what? Peace. God wants us to have peace. Then the word peace just got off his tongue. And then he says, in this world you will have what? Trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. God wants us to have peace. But in this peace, there's going to be problems. There's going to be trouble. And you're like, yeah, why is that? God, why do I have to have so much trouble in my life? Why is life so hard? Why does God allow these things? Can I tell you, we're going to start a series next week called Why Me, God? We're going to answer that question 4 or 5 weeks. Why? Why me, God? Why do the hardships of life come? So if you want an expanded explanation of that, we're going to tackle that next series, okay? Why do these troubles have to come? Can I encourage you to be here and invite other folks? They're asking those same questions you are. God, why do things happen the way they do? Why is life so hard? But we all want this peace. We all think about it. We all pray for it. We all hope for it, that we'll have peace. We just want a good day, right? Nothing breaks. Car runs. Relationships go smooth. Boss doesn't get on your back. And we just want everything to go right. And there's nothing wrong with just wanting the day to go smooth. But God says that's not always going to happen. He says you're going to have trouble. In this world, you'll have trouble. And this world creates problems, and God provides peace, not the absence of problems, but in the middle of your problems, God is there to provide peace. Now, I want you to notice in that passage we just read where peace is found. It says, so that in circumstances you may have peace. Is that what it said? That if everything goes smooth and everything's right, and if I get the right job, or if I get the right house, or if I get the right spouse, or if I buy the right blouse. I read a lot of Dr. Seuss books. It's not what he says. He says, that's not in circumstances. He says, so that in money you may have peace. It's not what it says. I mean, money can buy a lot of things, but the one thing I know it won't buy is peace. Does he say, so that in yourself you may have peace. Your own determination, your own will, your own frame of mind, your own positive thinking and mind over matter and making yourself have peace. That might last for a little while, but I can tell you one thing. That's not where lasting peace is found. No, that's not what he says. In fact, he says this, in me, you may have peace. The peace is found in the person of Jesus Christ. He alone is the source of peace. One of my favorite psalms, Psalm 16:11 says, "You have shown me the path of life. You give me joy in your presence." That the presence of God gives us lasting peace and lasting joy. When all the other things fail, we can still have peace. So Jesus is our peace. And if you and I lack joy or if you and I lack peace, there's a reason for it. We're lacking him. You know, I think God gave us emotions for lots of different reasons. Worry, fear, insecurities, doubts, anger, jealousy. All these emotions, I believe, are like one of the reasons he gave it. They're warning signs, like on the dashboard of a car, and the light goes off, and you go, uh-oh, something's wrong. And when we begin to feel these negative emotions, it's like a light blimping in our eyes that you're lacking me. You're trying to find your peace in somewhere else instead of me. So let me ask you, where do you run for peace? Where do you run to? I can promise you that all of us have a default. We all run somewhere to find peace. We think maybe drugs and alcohol, those addicts are the people that run to something else for peace. But it goes way, way, way beyond that, guys. I mean, we'll look for peace in relationships. We'll look for peace in money, in success, in sex, in entertainment, in food. I mean, why do you think they made ice cream? It's called comfort food. So it comforts us. Man, we look for peace in all these other places. And they, listen, let's be honest, they provide a momentary escape. Rocky Road makes me feel good for a minute. And then you need a glass of water, and it's gone. It's gone. In this world, you will have trouble. But you and I can experience peace regardless of what you're going through, regardless of what's ahead of you. You and I can have his peace right now. Regardless of the junk and the conflict in your life, it can be found in Jesus Christ. And when troubles come, we can run to him. Now, he said you may have peace. Did you see that? So that in me you may have peace. Peace. It's not a guarantee. It's not automatic. Just because you know Christ and you're a believer in Christ that you'll have his peace. He said, I'm going to give you the opportunity for peace. But there's no guarantee. It's up to you to seek me in the moment of trouble to find and be your peace. So here's my statement I want to give you. It's in the, if you want to fill the blanks in. If you trust in God when troubled, his presence will be your peace. Not later, not looking back. Listen, right in the moment of trouble, if you'll in that moment look to God, in that moment of trouble, you trust him. Say, God, I know what my emotions say, but I'm going to trust in you anyway. Then his presence will be your peace. It's not found. It's not like I just need an absence of problems and then I'll have peace. No, his presence is our peace. It's not, well, if God answers that prayer, then I'll have peace. No, just him being near is our peace. If God makes things work out the way I want them to work out, then I have peace. He says, no, if you'll just trust me in the moment, then the fact that I'm abiding with you and I'm in you and you run to me, your soul can have peace regardless of what's going on around you. See, if I had every single desire, if you had every single desire, everything you ever wanted in life was given to you, but God was far away, or you could have a whole bunch of troubles, but God's right there in the middle of it with you, that trumps it, doesn't it? That's so much greater. That's so much greater. And it's a good thing, too, because I'm going to move on here. And Jesus is talking to his to his disciples, and he's telling them, he's kind of warning them, it doesn't get better in this world, it's going to get worse. Look what he says in Matthew 24. He's kind of prepping them for the end times. I mean, they're coming still. It says, "For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened." What's he saying? Jesus is really summing up about 12 chapters of your Bible. Revelation 6 through Revelation 18 is called the tribulation. He sums it all up, and there's earthquakes, and there's famines, and there's wars, and there's all kinds of disease. The sun's going to go dark. Children are going to betray their parents, and parents are going to betray their kids. It's called a time of great distress. He says we're never going to see anything like it, and that's saying something, isn't it? We've got some distress in this world right now. He said it's going to get worse. So if you're waiting for things to get better, it's not going to happen. If you're waiting for technology to make everybody's life great, you're going to be waiting a long time. If you're waiting for everybody just to get along with one another, can I tell you something? That's never going to happen to our satisfaction, that this world is broken and we can't count on those things. And Jesus said, actually, there's some growing birth pains leading up to this time of great distress. And it made me think of, like, when my girls were in fourth and fifth grade and they started having girl drama. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And that was just like a precursor getting ready for middle school. Like, you want drama, middle school girls are it. That is the pinnacle. It was just warning shots. Thank God we're past that now. It's going to be all easy now. The end times are filled with conflict. Satan flexes his muscles and does everything he can to destroy lives. Believers will be persecuted by other men. God will unleash his wrath on sin. Mankind goes to war with one another. In the pinnacle of this war, the armies of the north and the east will surround Israel. They're going to destroy the people of God. And it's called the Battle of Armageddon. And it's in the Valley of Megiddo. And I was there. And it's this huge bowl. It's this huge valley with a perfectly flat bottom. And it stretches for miles in every direction. And it's massive. And the Bible says that millions of soldiers and tanks and all kinds of stuff are going to go to war with each other. And you can picture it. It's they can all fit in there. And it's going to be awful. It says the blood's going to fill up part of that valley. And violence just gets worse and worse. And in the brink of destroying ourselves, there's hope. Because God intervenes. Jesus Christ intervenes. And look at what he does. This is Psalm 46. "Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire." And God wages one last war to end all wars. Truly the war to end all wars. Jesus intervenes to make the end of violence, to make the end of conflict. And Jesus brings in peace. By ruling with his authority as King of Kings and being the Prince of Peace, he rules the world and peace is restored finally. We all long for that. The cry of our heart, whether we realize it or not, the cry in our hearts for violence to end and for peace to reign, whether we realize it or not, it is a call for another world. It's a call that God would remake and renew the creation. And that's exactly what he does. We get lots of pictures of what that's going to look like. And in the scriptures, I'm going to just show you one. Look at this. It says, "The wolf will lie with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them." What is he saying? The animals aren't even going to have conflict with each other anymore. There's so much peace. The animals lie next to each other. He's going to restore what life looked like before the flood, before animals had the fear of man, before they killed each other. And there's going to be a little child there. And nobody's going to call the cops. Child Protective Services won't get called. because that child is perfectly safe. Look what else it says. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den. The young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Peace. The absence of conflict. He wins. He rules. He reigns. All enemies destroyed. Every impulse in our hearts to destroy, removed. And peace and conflict, peace overcomes conflict finally and forever. And this world with trials and hurts and problems is removed. And the perfect life that we long for, God provides. Can I tell you, that's the future for all of us who are in Christ Jesus. That's what we have to look forward to. Isn't that a great hope? Isn't that a great hope? When you just get tired of this world beating you down, you guys, when is there going to be relief? When is the good guys finally win? When is God finally triumph? This is the day. It's coming. And when you feel like you can't go on, and God, when is this going to stop? And when will I get relief? The day is coming. And you'll have perfect peace. If you are in Christ Jesus, your faith is in him, and Jesus is the forgiver and the leader of your life. That is what you have to look forward to. And if that's you, think about this. The worst you'll ever experience in life is happening right now. It's only going to get better. And we have an eternity to look forward to, peace. And every hardship you face, this gives me so much hope, every hardship you and I face, it's temporary. One day it's gone. And we'll get to know the presence and the peace of God. For you in Christ Jesus, God has promised an end to all problems. Can you even imagine that? No more problems. It's hard to wrap your head around. But it's coming. Now, if that's not you, if that doesn't describe you, that you have faith in Jesus Christ and you have a relationship with him and he's the leader and the forgiver of your life, if that's not you, my challenge for you today is to settle your conflict with God. You say, what conflict with God? I don't have conflict with God. Scripture says your sin has separated you from your God. The reason you can know you have conflict with God is when he feels distant and not near. When he feels distant and you want to know God or you have a desire to know God, but he's out there and he's not in here, and he's out there and he's judging me instead of in here and forgiving me. And if that's you, you have a conflict with God. And God would love to resolve that conflict with you today. To admit that your sin has separated you from a holy God. Because of his holiness, he can't be around sin. But there's hope that you and I, through Jesus Christ, can have that sin removed, and then we're ushered into relationship with God, and we get the righteousness of Christ given to us, and we're completely acceptable to this holy, loving, gracious, almighty God. And he says, come home. Come home. In fact, this is how it all ends. Listen to this. This is from Revelation 20. It says, and they saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, that's the throne of God, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. God says there's two books. Actually, there's a bunch of books, so there's two kinds of books. This first set of books has all the deeds that you and I have ever done, that everyone that's ever lived have ever done. And he says, I can judge you according to your deeds, and if your name's in that book, I will line it all up, and I'll list everything you've done, and you will fall miserably short of the righteousness that is required to have a relationship with God. And it says, all those who are judged according to that book will be condemned and judged and thrown into this lake of fire. Everyone. And if that was the end of the story, we should just go home. But he said, there's another book. And this other book's called the Book of Life. in the book of life has everyone's name listed who has by faith trusted in Jesus Christ and said, I'm unable to forgive for my own sins or pay for my own sins, but I've trusted in Jesus Christ and he's the leader and the forgiver of my life. And because he's that, then your name gets written in the book of life, and God won't judge you according to your deeds anymore. He'll judge you according to the righteousness of Jesus, and he'll say, come on in. Those who have trusted Christ, your name's in the book of life. Come and enjoy the presence of God forever. Simple question. Which book is your name in? If you've invited Christ into your life to forgive you and lead you, your name's in the book of life. If you're not, it isn't. But today would be a great day to acknowledge Christ as the leader and the forgiver of your life and say, God, I'm unable. My righteousness won't be enough, but I believe yours is. And that you conquered this world and you conquered death and you conquered hell by rising from the dead. And now you extend eternal life to all those who believe in your name. If you want to settle your conflict with God today, right now would be the perfect opportunity. Let's go to God in prayer together. Father, in this holy moment, we just acknowledge that you're right here. If before we were ever born, you desired an intimate relationship with us. You have loved us long before we've ever thought about you, and you've desired a relationship with us. And yet the rebellion in our hearts to want to do our own things and go our own way and be our own boss, that's called sin. And it has wrecked what could have been. And it's keeping us from you. If you sense a distance with God right now, you don't have to anymore. If you'll acknowledge what Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, God made flesh, has done for you. That he willingly died in your place. He said, I'll take all of their sin. Give it to me, Father. And I'll pay the penalty for it, so that they might go free and be clean and healed and forgiven. If you believe that today and you're ready to trust Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, I want you to call on his name right now. Say, Jesus, I believe. I believe you are the Son of God. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. And I'm asking for you to forgive me. And God, I want you to lead me. I'll go where you ask me to go, and I'll do what you ask me to do. I can trust you with my life. If that was your prayer, you need to grab someone at the next step table before we leave, or you need to fill out on your Connect card that I've accepted Christ, I'm a Christian now, and let somebody know that Jesus has radically entered your life and you have peace with God. We want to celebrate that with you. Now I want to pray for those of us that are struggling to have peace. You walked in here and your head was swimming with problems and issues, and your heart felt heavy and your emotion lights were going off, and there's worry and there's fear and there's anger and there's all these emotions showing you that you're running to something else other than Jesus. Can I ask you today, what are you running to? Jesus is saying, stop running to that. Why don't you tell God? If that's you, if you're struggling to have peace, say, God, I've been running to this. You tell him. But now I'm going to run to you. And you ask him, say, Jesus, will you be my peace today? And if you walked in here this morning discouraged, I believe God wants you to leave this room with courage, full of hope, full of joy, full of life, full of peace, full of confidence, knowing that God will do all that he's promised to do. And so you look forward to the day when all your problems will be gone, and there'll be peace and happiness forevermore. And you're going to believe the promise that all your problems are temporary and God has a home of eternal bliss and peace awaiting for you. And that you're going to leave this sanctuary knowing you have courage and hope in what is to come. Oh God, be our peace. Be my peace, God. You're all we need. We look to you now. We run to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.